Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Shake money. Here's to the farmer's wife that loves him every night. Raising a son, raising a daughter. They gather around the table.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. Another week of information, interviews, some thoughts, comments, if you will. That's the usual bill of fare here on the American Family Farmer program. And this week will be no different than last week. Well, the information will be different for sure as we study the lot that American family farmers are faced with and how much agriculture shapes our lives. Does it really anymore? I mean, I'm looking at some of the news this week and there's a lot of focus, if you will, on the farm bill. People say, well, what is that? How does that affect me? Well, it doesn't affect you unless you are eating food. If you're eating food in America, farm bill somehow will affect you or affect what's going on the farm, which will affect what's available to eat, which will affect you and your life. So that's how things are tied together here. And I was noticing the focus. I take a lot of the different states that carry my various programs. I take that their input back to me, you know, when people are listening, they'll say, okay, that's good, that's not so good. Why don't you talk more about this? Why don't you talk more about that? So somebody from Iowa sent me a note and wanted to, I think, Boone, Iowa, there are two or three towns in Iowa that carry the American Family Farmer program. So I was happy to dig around and find out a little bit more about how agriculture shapes life in Iowa. Senator Joni Ernst is a Republican from Iowa. She has been very, very outspoken, obviously, about lots of different things when it comes to agriculture. She was all over the place celebrating National Agriculture Week last week, recognizing farmers in Iowa. The folks in Iowa, I mean, some of her political rhetoric when she says Iowa's number one in corn and pork and egg and ethanol and biodiesel. So also their state is in the top tier of producers of soybeans, dairy, beef, turkey. And so, yeah, I mean, that is probably somewhat political posturing, but there's some truth to all of that. But there are other states that are doing that sort of thing as well. She likes to bill herself as committed to the needs of the farmers in Iowa. And so what does that mean? Well, it means opening up new markets for commodities, for sure. How about what is affecting the meat processors? How about the red tape that all of us as farmers, not just the farmers in the Midwest, the farmers in Iowa, but all the red tape that all of us have to go through? This is maybe part news and part opinion on my part. I think that we've got to do something about this. But with the present administration, you're not going to see any easing of that. Depending on who really gets to be president, maybe we'll see some changes to our benefit, to our liking. And that could be a part of the new farm bill, which is going, you know, it's supposed to be every 5 years. Congress is supposed to update the farm bill, which is described by many as a, I'm going to read a piece from the government literature, comprehensive piece of legislation that should provide farmers with confidence as they generate our nation's food, fuel, and fiber. Does it, though? We haven't got a new farm bill. It's been 5.5 years since the last one was enacted. So now, what's going to happen? The politicians keep trying to throw more things into the bill. The price tag now is up to $1.5 trillion. And so what do we do here? What's the the process of coming up with a food bill, a farm bill that really is about food and about farm and not about the SNAP program and not about welfare and not about, you know, 18% of the money has nothing to do with what's going on the farm. Anyway, you need more farm in the farm bill. That's basically what I'm saying, what the interpretation is of what the senator from Iowa said. We need more farm in the farm bill. Farmers, people, and this is, I'm again paraphrasing some of the things that she said last week in her, she went around the state of Iowa. She said she was fighting to put more farm in the farm bill. She said her priorities included protecting food supply, national security, supporting rural prosperity and new farmers, and conserving your hard-earned dollars, quote unquote. So in that list, supporting rural prosperity, people are moving off the farm. People are moving out of rural America into suburban America. And people are not staying on the farm because it's too hard to borrow money. It's too hard to make money. It is, you know, the kinds of things that are crazy, keeping land from foreign ownership. That seems to me that's keeping the farm. California's Prop 12 regulation, which is something that has been looked at by the rest of the country and is a laughingstock, actually. You know what's the most difficult thing? And I'm looking at some of her comments here. The business about buying land, borrowing money, what kind of bonds are there available? What kind of grants are there available from the federal government? You know how difficult it is to get at? That's something else that ought to be in the farm bill. It really is. As far as I'm concerned, that's what Senator Ernst and the others ought to be looking at. And maybe the paraphrase, good political phrase, actually, I'm going to have to remember that myself. Put more farm in the farm bill. Let's see if we can hold on to that as a means to an end. All right, we'll pause here for a moment. I have some other news that I want to share with you as we continue on this week's American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
Doug Steffen here, calling all travelers. How many of you have ever been to Las Vegas? How many of you would love to go to Las Vegas? How about going to Las Vegas two nights free? I have your attention, so right now be one of the first 10 callers right this minute to call 800-419-3684. Two free nights in Las Vegas. That's it. First 10 callers, get on board. Two free nights in Las Vegas. It's the easiest thing ever, right? First 10 callers to call 800-419-DOUG. And two nights in fabulous Las Vegas is yours. No questions. You don't need to be caller 29. You can be in the first group of 10 or a dozen, and you're on board. 800-419-DOUG. 800-419-3684. We've traveled the world to find a good deal. You've got it now with 541 Travels and the Doug Steffen Good Day Program. 800-419-DOUG.
Elizabeth Miller is here from Calitrin to talk about how you can look your best. If you get started now, you're motivated to do it. There are a lot of other benefits that go with it because of the ingredients. Just go through the ingredients with us.
So the number one ingredient is collagen protein. We've got several different types of collagen protein in our Calitrin, but it works to rebuild lean muscle tissue and rev up your metabolism. And that's how it works over time. It's also good for the joint pain. And when you're taking it at bedtime, like we do recommend, it also helps break down into glycine, which helps you sleep more soundly also. Now, we've also added the patented ingredient called prohydrolase, which is digestive enzymes that help your body break down that collagen protein to where you can utilize it to the maximum potential.
All right, let's talk for about 30 seconds about the special $10 off every bottle.
Discounts on every single month of Calitrin, so the more you need, the more you're going to save.
Check it all out at toploss.com. The American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. Back to the news desk, news that affects farmers. I'm on two or three stations with this program in Hawaii, and I happen to be in Hawaii as I'm doing the program this week. I was looking around. I was talking to one of the members of the local Farm Bureau here, sad to hear that Hawaii has lost hundreds of its smallest farms and thousands of acres in the last few years. Is local agriculture more profitable? Well, the same kind of things are going on here as going on in much of the rest of the country. Compliments of COVID. That is, the people who weren't so much dependent on local agriculture before COVID became more connected, if you will. But as I look at the stats here, in the last 10 years, Hawaii has lost 10% of its farms. There were 6,600 operating farms on the Hawaiian Islands, and that's down in just the last 5 years, about 500, a little less than 500 of them. So they were like 9-10 acre farms. But the state itself, the state of Hawaii, has lost 82,000 acres of farming land over the last 5 or 6 years. About 1 million acres of Hawaii's land has been used for farming in the last 2 years. The farms that are still operating are making more money. The average farm sold about $103,000 in agricultural products. The average in America, and the actually average here, is about $75,000 to $80,000 a year selling your own products. Now, that's the average small farm. I'm talking about the farms that have thousands of acres and thousands of cattle and milking thousands of cows. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the smaller family farm. The people that I'm trying to support with this program, with ideas and information. So because I'm here, as I said, in Hawaii, the reason farming is better here is because people are willing to pay a higher price. There's a lesson in that. The lesson is that people here who are, there are more people involved in agriculture in the main on the Hawaiian Islands than is the percentage of people involved in agriculture across the rest of the country. It may be that more people per capita in the state are working in agriculture than in any other state. Now, the fact that people here seem to appreciate, I wonder if it has to do with the population makeup. I mean, think about the indigenous people in Hawaii. They've lived, but you know, all on the land, but that's, you know, kind of the story of America, too, until recently. The most interesting number is the value of agricultural products, though. The number of farms going down, the value of agricultural products going up. I thought that was kind of an interesting reality to understand. You know, there are a lot of people in the Department of Agriculture here who are analyzing the data. I think a highlight on things that are grown here, they have the regular farm crops in Hawaii. Plus, they grow a lot of pineapple. Pretty much people know that, right? Pineapple, apples, citrus. A big thing, but then because they're trying to serve each of the islands, the five major islands that have population, they share agriculture back and forth because it's so easy to get from one island to another. Something that's grown on Kauai and then goes to Oahu or to the Big Island or some, you know, there's a sharing. And so the fact that there are a lot of people coming to Hawaii, moving to Hawaii, no question about that, want to live here. But then natives, if you want to refer to them as that, the natives have continued their interest in, and the families contain the thread, the future of farming. It's not big, although Dole is big over here, buying, you know, the big Chiquitas here to a point, but Dole is really important. Thousands of acres in pineapple. And again, I'm in Kauai. Looking at the north shore of this island, I went out there yesterday when I got here, and it really is amazing to see how this area, the just the vastness of of the pineapple fields. So anyway, I thought because I was in Hawaii, I'd give you a little picture about what Hawaiian agriculture is about, and more to the point, how much more the farmer is respected here in terms of what he or she gets paid than is the norm back on the mainland. All right, that's the news department here. Stay tuned for more on the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, Get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
That's the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen, continuing with our focus on farms that will help you with ideas. And one of the best idea people that I know, a friend, as a matter of fact, in the dairy business, and a friend because he's the president of Massachusetts Farm Bureau Federation. He's been involved actively in all kinds of things for most of his life that have to do with agriculture, being down on the farm. He has a large farm in Dracut, Massachusetts, has a great retail store, distributes lots of milk and ice cream and dairy products all over Massachusetts, and he's just generally a great person, and I just like his vibe, so we spend as much time together as we can. And I invited him to be on the program today for a couple of different reasons. One of them, as the regional president of the Farm Bureau Federation, those of us who belong to the Farm Bureau, I think you know that I belong both to the Farm Bureau and the National Farmers Union, two different, very different groups. And I, for a long time, thought that I was getting more out of the National Farmers Union because the leadership, and I'm being very frank because I can be that way with you, the leadership of our local chapter was lousy. Now we have a good executive director, we have a good president. I was going to ask you whether it's too late, and that's not the right way to phrase this, but where are we, maybe that's the better way of putting it, in terms of the existence, if you will, the survival, the thriving? Massachusetts was a great ag state. I don't feel that we are anymore, but I think we can be. So you decided you wanted to be president of the Farm Bureau in Massachusetts. Why? What's in it for you?
Well, as you know, back in those days, I had some maybe the same concerns you had with local leadership, and and I'm the kind of guy that when I see that, I have no choice. I have to try and act on it. So I spent a couple of terms trying to position myself to be the president, and then some things occurred that resulted in there being no other option for them. They asked me to be president, and it was at a pretty good time if you look at the organization and its needs. I think, you know, for me, it's a good opportunity for me to do what I do, which is make things better.
What about the Farm Bureau in terms of what it actually does. People, you know, it's an organization, 501c3 came about because there was certainly a need for it. But under the circumstances now, many of these groups, and not just in the ag business, there are groups all over the place that have been created out of a certain need at a certain time, and then they kind of wear out their welcome. They wear out their reason for being. I don't know that I wouldn't belong to Farm Bureau. First of all, I wouldn't belong to Mass Farm Bureau if you weren't president, because I was thinking it was going in the wrong direction, as you and I have both agreed upon. But, you know, now... is it hard for you to look into the future without getting stuck in the present?
No, not at all. I mean, I really enjoy the sort of challenge that's put before you when you realize that, you know, this is an old organization and it has some structure that's pretty difficult to maintain. So I think for me, it's a matter of giving it new energy, which I think we've done.
Yeah, I agree. They
pointed out the new executive director, also Nick John, the new government liaison guy, who is fond of saying it's a new day for Mass Farm Bureau and a new day for all of Mass Agriculture. All true, and I think it's just the approach and style that we've brought to the dance.
Yep. All right, hold on. We'll continue with Warren Shaw, who runs the Shaw Dairy Farm in Dragon, Massachusetts, and is also president of the Massachusetts Farm Bureau Federation.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need. You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly, and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. The White House says President Biden will be visiting the site of the Baltimore Bridge collapse next week. The Navy bringing in big cranes on barges to assist workers in lifting the remains of the mangled bridge from the water. Here's Maryland Governor Democrat Wes Moore.
To see a freight that is nearly the size of the Eiffel Tower, and to see that same freight with a key bridge resting on top of it. To see shipping containers that were ripped in half as if they were paper mache.
In USA News for Your Health, the CDC reporting the first human case of swine flu in the U.S. this year. Doctors think a child in Pennsylvania caught the virus after being in contact with pigs. Occasionally, this infection can jump to humans. And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
Attention, small business owners. This could be the most important 10-minute call you will ever make. you could recover up to $26,000 per employee today. And all you have to do is make one short 10-minute call to take your business up a notch or bounce back from these difficult couple of years. Omega Accounting Solutions can help you recover any payroll tax overpayments you made during the pandemic. You may even be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee. All it takes is a quick, easy, free 10-minute ERC consultation to determine if you qualify. Omega is the small business champion with teams dedicated to maximizing tax credits. They know their stuff so well that CPAs and payroll companies even turn to Omega for ERC tax guidance. Call 800-300-9ERC. That's 800-300-9ERC. 1-800-300-9ERC. Or visit OmegaTaxCredit.com.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Past the hour on this week's American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen with I'm a bona fide American Family Farmer, and so is Warren Shaw, whose family actually, I'm a first generation farmer in the sense that my family wasn't in it before. But farm and Warren, the two words go together because his family started this dairy farm 113 years ago. He's got over 100 cows. And the interesting thing is he's been able to, both in the store that I was telling you about earlier and in the barn itself and in the pasture land and the things that he has created around the cows, he's been able to merge, if you will, the need and the desire for organic milk and milk products and the conventional milk and dairy products. So how difficult is that from, because we're bouncing back and forth from Farm Bureau to actual farming. How hard is that to do?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say it's hard. It was first hard to break into it because, you know, like everything else that you try that's new, people are telling you that you can't do it.
You can't do it, right, yeah.
But I wouldn't, you know, that wasn't me. So I was able to, you know, essentially put together a model that made the certifiers comfortable because, you know, because we are both conventional and organic, they pay a little more attention to us, which, quite frankly, they should. I mean, it's a matter of protecting that brand. And so we have to make sure that we are 100% in compliance with what the organic standards are and that we keep great records. That's the most important part, because they come in and they audit you once a year, and they're very thorough about it. So, and I respect that. I mean, there's no reason to ask people to spend more money for a product like organic dairy and not protect it.
Some people confuse organic with raw, and I know that makes people like you flinch a little bit. And actually, it was a educational thing, because, you know, I spent 7 or 8 years selling raw milk on my farm, which is not that far from yours. And it was a great learning experience for me, and made me, and I think I've said this to you many, many times, made me a much better farmer. And the farming reality was different because, you know, the requirements for raw milk, even though exaggerated in terms of, you know, whether it's good for you or it isn't good for you, it was one more step. So you did conventional and I did conventional, and then you did natural and organic and I did raw. And so there's two different constituencies, although I think from my perspective, I wish that we were all one. I know even some of the farmers that I talk to when I go places turn their nose up when, you know, on this program's website and the Facebook page. I often am, you know, quoted as saying this, that, and the other about raw milk, and I'll always get a pot shot from one or two farmers and other people. Some scientist recently said that I was out of my mind, and, you know, all of that stuff. But it's kind of an interesting time to be doing this, because guys like you and me who want to keep our herds to 80, 100, 140, like in there, and be successful, are competing with people, especially in some of the neighboring states, not so much in Massachusetts, but other northeastern states and midwestern states. These guys have got, I was talking to a guy and his family's got three sons, and each one of them has a 1,500 cow dairy. So they're milking in each one of these farms 1,500 cows three times a day. It's like a factory. That doesn't even begin to come into my head that it makes sense, as you know, for the cows and for the people that drink the milk. Are we fooling people with telling them that, you know, some of the stuff on these commercial trucks, the Gorilla trucks say fresh milk from local farms? I mean, who are they kidding, right?
Yeah. No, that's marketing. There's no doubt about it. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, you did a good job of laying out the challenge that the farm models like yours and mine are very difficult to make a living on, and it's because, you know, the industry has gone in one of two directions. You either have to have those 1,500 cows, or maybe more like 5,000 if you have the land base to support it,
right?
Or you have to find a way to generate income through other sources and do direct marketing like we do. And
so, explain what you do through the store and distribution stuff, because, again, this is an inspiration. One of the reasons this program exists is to give farms ideas. And people will say to me, when I encourage them to do what I'm going to ask you to describe, well, we're in rural Iowa, or we're in rural Montana, or we're in rural Mississippi. We don't have a base like that, so we have to sell into the pool. So anyway, explain what you do.
Well, so what we do... And this has evolved. I mean, first of all, I want to say that I have a picture of my great-grandfather with a horse-drawn home delivery wagon.
So that tells you,
we've never participated in the other model, which is, you know, selling milk through a co-op and sending it to a big processor. And I think that's benefited us long-term. But what we do is just everything but be in that model. So we do home delivery, and we have a farm retail. We scoop ice cream there. We have wholesale sales, meaning there are other retail outlets, most of them farm stores, that retail or resell our products. And we do a lot of that. So it's a pretty solid business model. So we're able to, you know, I think looking forward, I mean, we might be positioned to go another 100 years. We also have the solar, as you know, and you know, we're looking at some other green energy stuff that that will generate income for us. And that's really what, you know, my solar array pretty much pays the electric bill, which used to, you know, be close to $100,000 a year.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was that idea that got me to thinking about doing solar. So I'm in preparation. I think I'm using the same guy you're using, if I'm not mistaken, or at least some of the assets, to do 3 acres of solar on my farm. I don't know if it's going to generate enough. Well, I know what it's going to generate, or at least what they're telling me is going to generate. And I think I like your model better than I like my model, but at least it's a, in another way. The thing that's very difficult, and this is something I want to talk about in terms of the, I guess, the legislative process or the realities of having to have a, we have a legislative liaison in the Mass Farm Bureau. And one of the things that he's constantly fighting, and we all are the stupid, stupid, stupid rules. They come from people who are supposed to be in government supporting agriculture. And we'll give you one example of that coming up here. Stay tuned. Warren Shaw, president of Massachusetts Farm Bureau Federation, also a dairy farmer in a town not far from me in Framingham, Mass, on this week's American Family Farmer. Time for us to visit as we get into the spring season. Elizabeth Miller is here from Calitrin to talk about how you can look your best. If you get started now, you're motivated to do it. All right, so Elizabeth, the reason for going to Calitrin in and of itself, a company doesn't succeed for 27 years if it doesn't work?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, we've been able to help customers lose weight safely since 1997. So for 27 years, we've got a product that has been proven safe. It's proven effective. It's got a huge 86% success rate with 90 days. And you get a team of support, too. So we're here to do everything we can to help you see the results with this product.
All right, let's talk for about 30 seconds about the special $10 off every bottle.
Yes, discounts on every single month of Calitrin. So the more you need, the more you're going to save. It's on our website, toploss.com.
Check it all out at toploss.com. Doug Steffen here, calling all travelers. How many of you have ever been to Las Vegas? How many of you would love to go to Las Vegas? How about going to Las Vegas 2 nights free? I have your attention, so right now be one of the first 10 callers right this minute to call 800-419-3684. 2 free nights in Las Vegas. That's it. First 10 callers, get on board. 2 free nights in Las Vegas. It's the easiest thing ever, right? First 10 callers to call 800-419-DOUG. And 2 nights in fabulous Las Vegas is yours. No questions. You don't need to be caller 29. You can be in the first group of 10 or a dozen, and you're on board. 800-419-DOUG. 800-419-3684. We've traveled the world to find a good deal. You've got it now with 541 Travels and the Doug Steffen Good Day Program. 800-419-DOUG. Back on the American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen, with my friend Warren Shaw, who's president of the Mass Farm Bureau Federation and arm of the American Farm Bureau. Before we get back to our situation in Massachusetts as it commonly applies to other states around the country, let's take a snapshot, a quick snapshot, Warren, of the American Farm Bureau Federation and what it does and what it's doing legislatively. That seems to be, you know, the thing with most of these groups like this, it's certainly statewide is a big part of what we do in Massachusetts, but also it's almost the reason for being to try to lobby and influence laws like the current, you know, farm bill that's being considered by Congress. I was noticing one of the state, senators, I think it was Murkowski, I can't remember, somebody is on the farm committee for the bill, put more farm into the farm bill.
What that message is that they're trying to encourage more programs that benefit the farmers, because the farm bill has sort of gone in the other direction.
Right. More stupid direction. It's stupid. The SNAP project and all that, didn't believe it belong in the farm bill. Put that in some other bill. Nothing to do with it. So you have that now. So let's come back to Massachusetts as a typical state, whether it is or it isn't, for us, it's what we know the best. We have a legislative person full-time working through things, like trying to have, and I'm sure a lot of farmers have something that's the equivalent to this in many states. We have what we call the APR bill, which is supposed to protect land that is devoted to agriculture forever. But as farmers have a tough time, there are suggestions like you just made and I'm doing to put solar on our farms. If we had that APR restriction on our land, we couldn't do it. And nobody knows why, and nobody can explain why, and nobody knows how this stuff still is against the rules with the legislative pushback from the farmers. So how do we deal with that?
So it's my opinion that that's why Farm Bureau exists and why other like organizations exist, that government develops policies to protect what they feel are their interests, and the API program is one of their ongoing concerns. So they will attempt to prevent you from putting it on the ground because they contend that that's a waste of the resource that they're protecting.
Which
that
is
doesn't
a lot
make
of
any
BS.
Sense.
No.
Right, it is. And I think that they really need to take a broader view of the situation and understand that solar is not forever. You're not even talking about excavation with most ground mount solar.
Right.
I'm a big fan, and you know, the dual use stuff that you and I are both familiar with can really help a farm stay afloat. And that's, you know, essentially why you're doing or I did the thing with solar, is that you're looking to maintain your economic viability.
And some of the people that just don't understand how it works, and I defer to them because everybody knows what their circumstance is best. Please don't criticize us because it's doing something to help save. Our costs in Massachusetts are so much greater than, let's say, the costs in Iowa or in Missouri or Illinois. Illinois has got crazy taxes, so maybe that's not a good example. But yeah, you know what I'm saying. There are a lot of ways to help improve the farm. And these people that have engineered these things have come up with designs. The solar panel that I'm doing on my land, those 3 acres, is basically 12 feet above the ground. It opens so the sunlight comes in. The cows will be able to pasture underneath it the same as they do now. Nothing changes except there's more income to help make the farm viable and help me keep the cows going. Right. And so, you know, that's the kind of stuff that we are contending, putting up with.
I really do think, in brief, that's why Farm Bureau exists. So you have, you know, we're a ground up grassroots policy organization that covers things in the state. But also there's a giant organization in Washington that represents our legislative interests with the federal government. Things like the Farm Bill and so many other things that come for you in a negative way. So Farm Bureau is the organization, the umbrella organization for all of agriculture.
You know what I wonder? We're almost out of time, but I wonder, and I say this on my weekday program, which you hear sometimes on the station in Lowell, and I say it on the farm show as well on the weekends, what the hell is going to happen in 50 years or less if we keep going down this path? We will no longer, not even be, we've been considered the breadbasket of the world. Never mind that. We're not even going to be able to feed ourselves.
We can't allow that to happen.
Well, thanks for your good ideas and the thoughts. And I thought the explanation, because we haven't really had anybody on from the Farm Bureau, either nationally or locally. I think you've been on. You were on with me a couple of years ago, but we didn't talk so much about this. So I appreciate that, and so do a lot of other people who understand the workings much better now. Warren Shaw, who runs Shaw Dairy in Draycott, Massachusetts, and also is the president of Massachusetts Farm Bureau Federation, here with Doug Steffen on the American Family Farmer.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time.
That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past few years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy a $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Three past the hour, this week's American Family Farmer program. Doug Steffen here with my thoughts on dairy, on the dairy industry, I suppose how it relates, in fact, to maybe your activism when it comes to the farm bill and what's going on here. I continue to be disgusted by what I see and what I read and what I hear from my friends as to this farm bill and the way I could go on and devote a whole program to this ridiculous reality that we find ourselves in, and something that is, instead of investing in agriculture and food and infrastructure that will help the country, all these guys are doing is trying to feather their own nests. And it really is probably not more obvious than in the dairy business. So I've tried to take sort of a global view in my opining here of the dairy industry. There's a group called the International Dairy Federation, in fact, that is not only looking at what's going on here in America with the American Farm Bureau and with the National Farmers Union, but they're looking around the world, the global dairy sector, trying to support high-quality milk. I guess we would have to, like, define what do we all agree is high-quality milk. I would say, if it were me defining it, it's the highest form of clean raw milk, because the nutritionally comes from the raw milk, not from necessarily, depending on how it's processed, of course, but raw milk is much better no matter how you slice it in terms of value. But that flies in the face of a lot of people from a lot of these medical schools and some of the ag schools. They just tell you that raw milk is dangerous. Well, it is, if it isn't handled properly. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road at the moment. But I am interested, excuse me, in what's going on with the world dairy situation. And yeah, a lot of the focus has been on the situation in America because it's here where it's most blatant. Although the Chinese are going into New Zealand, they're going into Australia and buying up farms down there and milk production so that they can do what they've done with the pork production here. the government of New Zealand, Australia now looking at not allowing the Chinese or other countries to come in and buy up the farms, buy up the means of production. But it's still, I mean, you can see it happening in France. You can see it happening, as a matter of fact, all over Europe and Asia, where there is a big need because of the growing population. In the last couple of years alone, the need, the desire for good dairy has gone up 33% in this area of the world. It's up 21% in Europe, 18% here in North America. And that's because people are liking different kinds of cheeses, for example. The fact that skim milk powder is being produced, that's, you know, there's an uptick there as well, although I don't know what really would good comes out of that sort of dairy, but there's a market for it. There are 9.5 million dairy cows in America. 28,000 farms, 94% of them are still family owned. The American farm, the farmers that are milking cows produce 225 billion pounds of milk a year. The average size of a herd is 337. When I was milking cows, the last group, I think it was 135 cows I was milking. That was considered large for 2005 to 2015, at least around here. And we all know what's happened. There are some farms in the Midwest and the Mid-South that have 20, 30,000 cows. It's not a farm. It's a factory. And the quality of the milk suffers for this, and that's what these people are figuring out. They don't know whether it's even necessary to stop it. I guess it is to a point to stop it, because as it continues to advance this way, the quality of the milk, which ought to be the first priority of all of us who are doing this, is going down, down, down. And so, you know, I hope to achieve some of the goals to help family farmers doing dairy in America, that you will get to the folks who are writing the farm bill and actually have them hear what it is that you're saying, because if nothing else, we should be spending money to market dairy. The inflation problem makes it difficult for us to promote our own product if we're selling on our farm, so we ought to get some help from people. If there's money going to people that don't deserve the money, then there certainly should be some coming to those who do deserve it and need the help. That's my thought on dairy marketing and the dairy business, nationally and internationally, here on this week's American Family Farmer.
This program was produced at Bob K. Sound and Recording. Please visit bobksound.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.